It was the story that stunned Detroit news readers last Friday. Recordings indicating GOP State Representative Todd Corser had sent out a phony email alleging that he'd paid for gay sex behind a Lansing bar, all to provide what he called a controlled burn to direct attention away from an extramarital affair with fellow state rep Cindy Gamrat. And today brought Corser's response to that story by Detroit News Lansing reporter Chad Livengood.
My actions in and around these events and the email that was sent to misdirect attention were my doing, both in planning and execution. No one else has the responsibility in those actions. They are mine and mine alone to carry.
Corser then issued a string of apologies.
I don't know at what point I can get past the guilt and shame that I feel, but first and foremost, I need to ask for forgiveness from God, and I have been doing that. And they need work, obviously, to restore that relationship with him.
Followed by apologies to Corser's wife and family and apologies to Representative Gamrat and her husband and children. With us now is the reporter who first broke the story on Friday morning, Chad Livengood of the Detroit News. Always good to have you with us, Chad.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
And we welcome Nancy Derringer. Nancy did a profile of Representative Corser earlier this year. We had you in to talk about that. It was done for Bridge Magazine. Welcome, Nancy.
Great to be here, too.
Chad, as I talked about your story with people over the weekend, and believe me, there was a lot of talk about the story, people who had read your piece and then played the audio clips of that conversation between Representative Corser and his aide, Bed Graham, people's reaction was basically, what was he thinking of? And I'm wondering, Chad, what about you? What did you think and feel when you first heard those recordings?
It's unbelievable that a representative who is a devout Christian conservative talks about traditional marriage would make up a story about himself having a homosexual affair to help cover up a heterosexual affair with a fellow representative in the legislature who has been his side-by-side political ally. But as I dug into it and verified the authenticity of the tape and verified parts of the story of the legislative aides who gave me this recording, the evidence started mounting here, an attempt to cover up this relationship, and we just kind of let the story play out as it is.
And Nancy, you spent a fair bit of time with Representative Corser and his family for that profile piece. Were you surprised, and if so, at what?
Well, I wasn't surprised to hear about the alleged affair because it was part of the rumor mill for quite some time now. At the time, though, when I first heard these rumors, and the contention was that these two had had some sort of assignation at the Radisson in downtown Lansing, I remember thinking, this is too perfect. It can't be true, not because I think they're of such high moral character, but because, you know, cheating 101 is you don't go to the hotel in the middle of the city where you work and you're both well known. I mean, you'd find some more out of the way place. But, you know, these two are like the Major Burns and Hot Lips Houlihan of the Michigan legislature, I guess. You know, this kind of gratingly pious public attitudes that, you know, I'm doing God's work and you're not. And it's almost too perfect for them to. And then this whole cover story, which is just, you know, it's like something from outer space. I just don't get it.
And in this morning's audio response to what Representative Corser calls, here's a quote, the Detroit News hit piece, he offers up his mea culpas. And then he said, here's why I did it, why I sent out that fake email about gay sex. I was being blackmailed. Let's take a quick listen.
The email in question was really put in motion to try and disrupt the blackmailer and to give me some clues as to what their ability was as far as surveillance over my life and the threats that they were making.
So I was doing black ops, and I was being blackmailed, he says, quote, to doing whatever they were requiring. But in this response, he never said what it was they were requiring. Did that ever come out in what you heard, Chad? What was the whatever?
They wanted a response, and they wanted Corser and Gamrat to resign. So he says that he came up with the controlled burn email to root out this blackmail scheme and try to expose, and yeah, he suspected that Ben Graham and Pete Bauer, the other aide, were involved, and he claims that this is part of the reason why he fired him. And he goes into a long discussion on the tape about how he believed that Keith Howard and Ben Graham were unfit for this type of job. They say he was unfit for this job and that he and Gamrat would go missing for hours on end sometimes and would miss meetings over and over. that were scheduled. They had to be rescheduled several times. And one of the charges of maybe potential misuse of taxpayer resources, they would go missing on Thursday afternoons when every legislator is leaving town to go back to their district. Of course, their engagement were gone, according to their former employees. And then they would make them stay around until they could have a staff meeting Thursday evening.
Something that struck me with this morning's response was how much time Representative Corser talks about what he calls the Lansing Mafia and saying that this is the way the establishment machine gets everyone to do what they're told to do. No one dare question their authority. I did. And it was clear from your profile, even last spring, Nancy, that even just a few weeks into his term, this freshman lawmaker felt like the proverbial voice crying in the wilderness against the establishment. No?
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of silly when you think about it, because it's not like there's a shortage of conservative Republicans in the Lansing State House these days. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so for him to kind of like come in there riding into town as though he is in opposition to these people, or he's standing for liberty and, low taxes and all this stuff. It's like, do you think there's nobody else like singing this song in Lansing right now? I mean, it's insane. And so, you know, as my story pointed out, you know, he comes into town and he immediately starts throwing fits over things that shouldn't even be headaches. You know, the seat assignment, the furniture in his office, little procedural stuff. And there was an old consultant that I quoted in there who said, you know, you can be principled or you can be effective, but it's very, very difficult to be both. And he was doubling down on principled, or what he sees as principled. And so making these big speeches and posting these 2,000-word Facebook, you know, manifestos about all the stuff that he's doing in defense of liberty. It's like he should have kept his mouth shut. And I think it's interesting, you know, at the beginning of this term, it was him, Gamrat, and Gary Glenn from Midland. Gary Glenn has absolutely distanced himself from those two. So now they're out there by themselves.
And Chad, any more thoughts from you on not only how Representative Corser viewed himself in Lansing, but how he was viewed by his House colleagues?
Well, he was viewed as an anarchist, someone who was trying to blow things up. I just spoke with House Speaker Kevin Conner, and he said he really displayed a long and consistent pattern of that type of paranoia. And Kevin Conner made it clear there are no, quote, no black helicopters here, no drones circling in the House office, because, of course, there's insisting that his office has somehow been bugged and whatnot. So this has just kind of gone on with this. I mean, yeah, and Corser does speak in these huge grandiose terms and such. I mean, when I first interviewed him, when he was coming into office, and I was talking about him with Gamrat and Gary Glenn, he's like, we're not from the genteel side of Republican politics. We're the gladiators, is the word he used, fought their way up to the top. So this is par for the course. He is theatrical, if anything.
Well, speaking of theatrical, at the very end of his nearly half-hour response, apology, defense, explanation, Representative Corser says goodbye, God bless, and then there's a postscript clearly recorded at a different time with this.
I think it's important here to make sure I get a full record of everything. And I think what I'm going to do is just simply give you the phone number. And the phone number for the blackmailer is... So if any of you want to assist and help track down the blackmailer, there's the phone number. Okay.
Somebody's been taking a page, I think, from Donald Trump. Yeah. But speaking of theatricality, but so he's trying to track down the blackmailer. Not sure who he is because the police won't help. But by the way, here's the blackmailer's number. Chad, I'll let
we
you take a shot.
We find no evidence that he has actually been to the police to report to this blackmailer, or that he's the victim of some kind of a conspiracy. So that one was pretty remarkable because the audio sounded different.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because he's accusing us of editing the tape, which we did not do.
Now, we did hear quite quickly after your story broke, House Speaker Cotter said there will be investigating. Chad, are there potential criminal charges here, or is this more a case of political, personal, and moral embarrassment?
They don't really know yet. It's kind of unclear. I mean, there's a whole host of things that could happen. You know, lawyer, by the way, someone could file a complaint against him that this amounts to public deception and fraud and sanctions against his law license. You know, the House representatives themselves, they could vote to expel him and Representative Gamrat if they wanted to. So at this point, it's hard to tell whether there's anything criminal here. I can't confirm that the Speaker of the House told me this morning that the House Business Office on Friday and over the weekend seized his files and all their email and the hard copy record in their office as part of this open-ended investigation. So they are looking pretty deep into this joint office operation of Representative Todd Forster and Cindy Gamrat.
And has there been any reaction or any comment from Representative Cindy Gamrat?
There has not at this point. She has not made any comment. Like I said, I made an attempt to talk to her a week ago today to ask her about the firings and to ask her whether she was having an affair, and she declined comment.
She's pretty skittish that way. I mean, I've noticed she follows the Sarah Palin model of only speaking through her Facebook page. I don't think I've ever seen her just, you know, somebody stick a microphone in her face and have her talk off the cuff, so...
Well, it certainly is a story that we'll bear watching as this unfolds. It's worth going back to Bridge MI and finding Nancy Derringer's profile from last April of Representative Todd Corser.
And I would not take my eyes off the Detroit News as this story develops.
Absolutely not. As we speak now with Chad Live and Good, Detroit News Lansing reporter, who was the first to break the story about State Representative Todd Corser. And, of course, we've been talking with Nancy Derringer of Bridge Magazine. Thanks so much to both of you for being with us today.
It's been great.
Thank you.